Hi, Jennifer. Gina. Hi, Gina. Hi, Moro. Where's Noah? Is he not coming to say hello? Yes. Oh, there he is. Hi, Noah.
Hi.
Yeah?
Yes.
Lovely to see you both.
She's telling you she's your bunny and Elsa.
Oh, right. She got a bunny tail as well.
There's one chocolate.
Right. Ellen's busy on the phone. Morning, Ellen. You're multitasking. Oh, yes. Morning, Alison. Morning, David.
Morning, everybody.
Morning. Morning, Nicole. Morning, Margaret. Oh, morning, Margaret. Dark glasses really suit you. Well, good morning, everyone. Oh, morning, hi. Stephen and Jane. Morning, Jane. Lovely to welcome you all to our service again. It's the most beautiful day outside, so I'm very impressed that you've come inside. I did wonder about taking my laptop outside, but the sun's almost too bright and too hot, isn't it? So we are gathered together again to worship God, and today we're going to be celebrating Holy Communion. So if you haven't already got it ready, now is your chance to nip away and get a piece of bread and something to drink so that we can celebrate Holy Communion later in the service. One little notice, and it's a shame that we can't actually see her today, but it was Ruby's birthday on Thursday. So I think we can all wish Ruby a happy birthday. Happy birthday, Ruby. I won't say how old you are, but it's going to be a big one next year, isn't it? And I know there's other birthdays coming up, so do let me know. Don't keep it a secret just because we're online and not in person. It's always good to celebrate birthdays in our church family. And today's service is based around the story of the prodigal son. Certainly one of my favourite stories, and this is a lovely picture, isn't it, of the younger son being embraced by his father, having returned, and you can just see how he's filled with remorse at the way he's treated his dad. It's a lovely story, and we'll look into that a wee bit more. We're here to worship God. God is love. We are all his beloved children, and we can only love one another because he first loved us. And God's love is a perfect love, a love which drives out all fear. So let us worship God, praising the Lord with all our inmost beings, as we begin our worship with some verses from Psalm 103, which seem to fit so well with both the story of the prodigal son and Holy Communion. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name.
Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love.
He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities.
For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him.
As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. So with this beautiful weather all over the country, it seemed appropriate to listen to this beautiful hymn by John Rutter again. Look at the world, and enjoy all the children singing it.
Thank you.
Such a beautiful hymn, but it struck me as I tried to sing along with it that it's better to listen than to sing along. It's just a bit too high for my voice, certainly. But wonderful to think about praising God for all creation as we look around at the world around us. So today, I said, we're going to be looking at the story of the prodigal son. And I don't know how well you all know this, but I thought I would give a sort of wee more modern touch to it. I started off by thinking, well, I wonder what prodigal actually means. Because I think over the years, I've always associated it with this story and therefore thought that prodigal was kind of the odd one out. But actually, the dictionary tells us that prodigal means wasteful, extravagant, or self-indulgent. So that puts a slightly different twist on it for me anyway. But of course, the prodigal son was wasteful, extravagant, and very self-indulgent. The story begins with a landowner or a farmer with two sons. And the younger son is the one who was called the prodigal. He was bored working on the farm. And I know that many of you know about farms and working on them, and it's a lovely way of life, but it's very, very hard work because you don't get much time off at all. So this boy was just fed up with it. So he went to his father and said he'd like his half of the farm now instead of waiting until his father died. Now, what an incredibly rude and selfish thing to ask. It was almost like saying, I wish you were dead, Dad. But you know, the most amazing thing is that Jesus tells us in the story that the father agreed. Now, when we look at the background to it, this means that the father and the elder son would have had to sell half of their land and half of all their stock in order to give that younger, the prodigal, what he wanted. Now, I don't think I would have done that if it was my son, but this father did. And then, do you know what the younger son did once he'd got all this money? He ran away from home with it. Isn't that dreadful? I love the bunny ears. Laurel, you're looking super. So the younger son, the prodigal son, ran away from home and he spent all the money having fun, parties, and just generally living it up. And of course, while he had lots of money, he had lots of friends ready to help him spend it. I'm sure he would have been buying lots of nice sweets and nice things to drink and ice creams and things for his friends. But once his money ran out, suddenly the friends kind of went away and he was left alone and he was getting hungry. So reaching rock bottom, the prodigal son went to work on a pig farm. That would be a really smelly job to do, wouldn't it? Working on a pig farm. And especially for someone who was Jewish, it was the very worst imaginable job for anyone to do. And even working really hard, he earned so little money that he could barely afford to eat. And one day he woke up and realized just how stupid he'd been. There he was, working hard and yet so poor that he even wanted to eat the pig's food. Ugh, I don't think I fancy eating the food that they give to pigs. And then he remembered his father. He remembered how well he looked after all his farm workers. He always made sure that all the workers had a safe place to sleep and plenty food in their bellies. So that day, the prodigal decided it was time to change direction, to go back home, and he wouldn't expect his father to treat him as a son again, but he would beg him to take him on as a servant. Because he knew now he could see how badly he'd treated his whole family. And do you know what happened? His dad wasn't ready to spank his bottom for being naughty. His dad didn't turn away from him. His dad was actually looking out for him. And as soon as he saw him coming towards him, he ran towards him with his arms open wide and gave him a huge hug. And before his son could start apologizing, his dad was ordering the servants to prepare a party to celebrate that he'd come back. And that story tells us what God is like. That even when we hurt him, even when we ask for way more than we deserve, even when we run away from him, he never stops loving us. And whatever we've done, he's always looking out for us, desperate to welcome us home, and always up for a celebration. Because God loves a good party. And having one of his children deciding to come back to him to change their mind, change their life, is always the cause for celebration. Do you think that's a lovely story, Laurel and Noah? It's one of my favourites. And we'll look at more of the story later in the service, but it's been lovely having you listening. And we're going to say a wee prayer together now, and then we'll say the Lord's Prayer together before Mandy reads from the Bible for us. Loving, living God, we thank you so much for all that we can learn about you through the stories in the Bible. That image of the prodigal son, of the father waiting with open arms, ready to welcome him back and hug him and have a celebration party, is just the most amazing image. It's hard for us to believe that no matter how badly we treat you, Lord, you are always still loving us and still longing to welcome us back. So let's say together the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. Now, if you want to hear the whole story, Mandy's going to read it for us from the Bible. It's in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15.
This morning we're reading from Luke, chapter 15, verses 11 to 32, the parable of the lost son. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me a share of my estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of the country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to the servants, Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf. He has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, Look, after all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Amen.
Thank you, Mandy. A lovely story. Really, in place of a prayer now, I'm going to read the words of a hymn. It's a hymn that was written by Ian Masson Fraser. You can find it at number 361 if you've got a purple hymn book at home. Ian Fraser was a Church of Scotland minister and a member of the Iona community. As the first warden of Scottish Church's house in Dunblane, and in his ministry generally, he broke new ground in creating partnerships between church, theology, politics and social issues, and in developing patterns of worship, both true to its traditions and engaged with contemporary culture. He died just a couple of years ago in 2018, aged 100. So I wasn't able to find a sung version of this, but I thought the words are so beautiful. The hymn echoes the gospel story of the prodigal son. So as a prayer, I'm going to read this hymn, and I encourage you just to allow the words to really sink into your hearts. Forgiveness is your gift, both cleansing and renewing, to catch us when we drift, our base desires pursuing, and hug us back to life, and bring us to the feast, where all will celebrate the life your love released. Your grace goes out to meet the sinful and the doubting. Your arms and dancing feet speak louder than all shouting. Oh God, how great your love, which takes us empty in, and with our worth unproved, lets better life begin. Amen. So our next hymn just seems so appropriate for this time when we're not yet able to worship within our church buildings. It's number 522, The Church Is Wherever God's People Are Praising.
The church is wherever God's people are praising. Church is wherever Christ dwelleth. churches wherever God's people are loving, where all are forgiven and start once again, where all are accepted, whatever their background, whatever their path and whatever their pain. The churches wherever God's people are seeking to reach out and touch folk where
certainly couldn't help myself but sing along to that one. Just a beautiful hymn. Now going to come to a few reflections of mine based on this story. And showing on the screen is Rembrandt's famous painting of the Return of the Prodigal Son. And I hope you'll all enjoy looking at that as I speak. It's one of these paintings that the longer you look at it, the more you see. Well, I spoke earlier, really addressing the children, although speaking to all of you, about what a beautiful word picture Luke paints for us of God as a father figure who does not judge or criticize, who accepts insults and pain from his children, and then, bearing absolutely no grudge at all, he actually, if and when they choose to return, he literally welcomes them back with open arms. That's what forgiveness looks like. And that's what Jesus did for us. Accepted all those pain and insults and pain, bore no grudge, and then literally stretched his arms out wide to welcome us back. And that's what we will experience for ourselves in Holy Communion. But what about the elder brother? I'm sure many of us can sympathize with him. Maybe we've been fairly good and obedient all our lives, working hard, attending church, paying our taxes and adhering to the law. Well, most of it, most of the time. So why does the elder brother seem to get such a raw deal from his father? And what does that mean for us? I think the root of it is not what he did or what we do, but why. It's his and our motives. If we behave well, simply to be seen to be good, but inside we're full of anger, judgment, and bitterness, then our behaviour counts for very little, because God sees what is inside. If we behave well, correctly, out of genuine, heartfelt love of God and of our neighbour, then we wouldn't grudge that welcome, that party for the younger son, because he also is one of God's beloved children. But I think we can see from the elder son's attitude, and if we're really honest, we'll see in our own hearts, that our motives are not always pure. We do what is right to be seen as good people, as Christians, or maybe in the hope of a reward. And we're very quick to compare our good behaviour with that of others. And the desperately sad thing about that is that we then fail to see the wondrous gifts that God has already given us. The story tells us that the father went out and pleaded with the elder son to come and join the party. "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours." And that is true for every one of us. If we look out at the world, at the beauties, the wonders of creation, yet so often we miss out on so many of the joys in life because we're holding on to anger, we're judging others, we're feeling hard done by. I've been there and I slip back to it daily. And I also know the enormous benefits of when I manage to get out of that way of thinking. When I start forgiving others, forgiving God, and forgiving myself. When I let go of the anger and the bitterness and focus instead on the many benefits in my life. That was one of the huge benefits of my trip to Zambia earlier this year. I saw again in the flesh just how poor most Zambians are, and therefore how rich I am in comparison. One tiny example is, once I came back, instead of comparing the old and slightly tatty carpets in the manse with my neighbour's new ones, I now compare them with the dirt floors in Zambia. So how do we go about changing our motives? I think the first thing is to focus always on giving thanks for what God has given us and done in our lives. Focus on His love for us rather than comparing ourselves with others, and allow our motives to grow out of that place of being loved truly, madly, deeply. During the week, in one of our meditation sessions, we heard the words that Eugene Peterson used to paraphrase the angel Gabriel's words to Mary. "Good morning. You are beautiful with God's beauty, beautiful inside and out." One of our group said she'd like to record those words and use them instead of an alarm bell every morning. And I thought, what a wonderful idea. So whether we see ourselves as the younger, the prodigal son, or the elder brother, let's open ourselves to God's amazing forgiveness, love, and grace as we move now to communion to receive the bread and the wine, Christ's body and blood, and so allow God to transform us, make us beautiful inside and out. Amen. Our invitation to communion and all the liturgy comes from one of the Wild Goose books today. He was always the guest. In the homes of Peter and Jairus, Martha and Mary, Joanna and Susanna, he was always the guest. At the meal tables of the wealthy, where he pled the case of the poor, he was always the guest. Upsetting polite company, befriending isolated people, welcoming the stranger, he was always the guest. But here, at this table, he is the host. Those who wish to serve him must first be served by him, must first, those who want to follow him must first be fed by him. Those who would wash his feet must first let him make them clean. For this is the table where God intends us to be nourished. This is the time when Christ can make us new. So come, you who hunger and thirst for a deeper faith, for a better life, for a fairer world. Jesus Christ, who has sat at our tables, now invites us to be guests at his. As we move to communion, let's listen to the beautiful Taizé chant, "Eat this bread, drink this cup."
Jesus Christ, praise the Lord, those who
what we do here, we do in imitation of what Christ first did. To his followers in every age, Jesus gave an example and a command, rooted in the experience he shared with his disciples in an upper room in Jerusalem. On the night he was betrayed, and as they were sitting at a meal, Jesus took a piece of bread and broke it. He gave it to the disciples, saying, "This is my body. It is broken for you. Do this to remember me." Later, after they had eaten, he took a cup of wine and said, "This cup is a new relationship with God, made possible because of my death. Drink this, all of you, to remember me." So now, we do as Jesus did. We take this bread and this wine, the produce of the earth and fruit of human labor. In these, Jesus has promised to be present. Through these, Christ can make us whole. Let us pray. And please join with me. The Lord be with you. Mandy's going to read the all parts for us.
"And also be with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, for you made us, and before us you made the world we inhabit, and before the world you made the eternal home in which, through Christ, we have a place. All that is spectacular, all that is plain, have their origin in you. All that is lovely, all who are loving, point to you as their fulfillment. And grateful as we are for the world we know and the universe beyond our ken, we particularly praise you, whom eternity cannot contain, for coming to earth and entering time in Jesus. For his life, which informs our living. For his compassion, which changes our hearts. For his clear speaking, which contradicts our harmless generalities. For his disturbing presence, his innocent suffering, his fearless dying, his rising to life, breathing forgiveness. We praise you and worship him. Here too our gratitude rises for the promise of the Holy Spirit, who even yet, even now, confronts us with your claims and attracts us to your goodness. Therefore, we gladly join our voices to the song of the church on earth and in heaven. And please join me with the words of our next response. And Mandy will read on behalf of you. Holy, holy, holy Lord.
God of power and might.
Heaven and earth are full of your glory.
Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one. Who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
And now, lest we believe that our praise alone fulfills your purpose, we fall silent and remember him who came because words weren't enough. Setting our wisdom, our will, our words aside, emptying our hearts and bringing nothing in our hands, we yearn for the healing, the holding, the accepting, the forgiving, which Christ alone can offer. Merciful God, send now in kindness your Holy Spirit to settle on this bread and wine and fill them with the fullness of Jesus. And let that same Spirit rest on us, converting us from the patterns of this passing world until we conform to the shape of Him whose food we now share. Amen. Among friends gathered around a table, Jesus took bread and broke it and said, "This is my body broken for you." Later, he took a cup of wine and said, "This is the new relationship with God, made possible because of my death. Take it, all of you, to remember me." Jesus, firstborn of Mary, have mercy on us. Jesus, Saviour of the world, have mercy on us. Jesus, Monarch of heaven, grant us peace. He whom the universe could not contain is present to us in this bread. He who redeemed us and called us by name now meets us in this cup. So take this bread and this wine. In them, God comes to us so that we may come to God. Let us now receive the bread, the body of Christ. As we accept the cup, let us know that new covenant with God that was only made possible through Jesus' death. Let's drink and be transformed. Christ, who has nourished us, is our peace. Strangers and friends, male and female, old and young, he has broken down the barriers to bind us to him and to each other. Having tasted his goodness, let us share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Amen. Our closing prayer. Let us pray. In gratitude, in deep gratitude for this moment, this meal, these people, we give ourselves to you. Take us out to live as changed people, because we have shared the living bread and cannot remain the same. Ask much of us. Expect much from us. Enable much by us. Encourage many through us. So, Lord, may we live to your glory, both as inhabitants of earth and citizens of the Commonwealth of Heaven. Amen. Thank you for joining us in our worship. It's been really good to be together. And I hope the story of the prodigal son makes even more real the amazing grace of God. So please feel free to sing along at home as we listen to Susan Boyle's beautiful voice singing Amazing Grace. It's hymn number 555 in the hymn books.
I see.
Just listening to those beautiful words, it struck me that I once was lost, but now I'm found could well apply to the prodigal son. And I was blind, but now I see could be the elder son. So as we go out into the week, let's know that we have received the forgiveness, the grace, the love and the peace of God, who gives generously to every single person. Nothing that we can do or say or think can ever make him love us any less. And nothing we do or say or think can ever make him love us any more, because he couldn't love us any more than he already does. So let's return to him. Let's open our ears and eyes and our hearts and receive that love and then live out of it. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest and remain with each and every one of us, with those we love, with those who love us, and with those we struggle to love, both today and forevermore. Amen.